From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Syrian shelling is heard through amateur recording continues in parts of homes. This is the Red Cross tries to gain access to the city's hardest hit district, Baba Amr. The organization says troops are blocking a convoy of relief. Activists accuse Syrian troops of trying to conceal evidence of execution-style killings today. Meanwhile, the International Committee of the Red Cross says it now has the bodies of journalist Marie Colvin and Remy Oshlik, who were killed in homes last week. Their remains reportedly are being transported to Damascus. President Obama is reminding Iran all options, including military action, are on the table if it should develop a nuclear weapon. NPR's Scott Horsley reports the president is also reminding Israel to hold its fire.
President Obama told a reporter for The Atlantic magazine the U.S. would use military force if necessary to prevent Iran from developing a nuclear weapon, adding, quote, "As president of the United States, I don't bluff." The interview is meant to reassure Israel that the U.S. has its back and prevent that country from launching its own strike on Iran. Mr. Obama warns an Israeli attack on Iran could be a distraction, allowing Iran to portray itself as a victim at a time when the Iranian government is increasingly isolated. Mr. Obama will try to make this case in person to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on Monday. He's also set to address the pro-Israel lobby AIPAC over the weekend. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
Spain was forced to admit today that it is not on track to cut government spending as much as it had pledged to the European Union. As Lauren Freyer tells us from Madrid, Spain keeps breaking its promises to Brussels and is risking EU sanctions.
Spain promised the EU it would cut its deficit to 4.4% of GDP. Now it says that goal was unrealistic and it'll try for 5.8%. EU rules say the figure should be below 3%. Conservatives now in charge here blamed error on overspending by socialists ousted from power late last year. But Spain is getting little sympathy in Brussels. European leaders are signing a new fiscal pact, and they don't want to undermine that by giving Spain an exception right away. This is a key test of how Europe deals with repeat offenders, members that keep failing to rein in spending. For NPR News, I'm Lauren Freyer in Madrid.
At last check on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was down 36 points at 12,948. That's in trading of about 2 billion shares. NASDAQ also off 12 points at last glance at 2,976. S&P 500 down 5 at 1,368. This is NPR News. The storm system blamed in at least 13 tornado-related deaths in the Midwest and South this week is still a major threat. From Georgia to southern Ohio, just a few hours ago, northern Alabama was struck. Several homes were leveled. A maximum security prison near Huntsville also sustained damage, but authorities say no inmates escaped. In Kentucky, Emergency Management Director John Heltzel is warning residents to be prepared.
Everybody in their house at this time should have flashlights with batteries. Everybody should have a number of days of water. We say 3 days. They ought to have 3 days of food. They ought to have 3 days of medicine.
In Harrisburg, Illinois, where six people die this week, the National Weather Service says it's appearing less likely that tornadoes will hit today. Political scientist James Q. Wilson has died in Boston. NPR's Paul Brown reports Wilson was co-author of an article that helped spark the community policing movement nationwide. Wilson had taught at Harvard, UCLA, and Boston College.
Wilson was a liberal-turned, prominent conservative thinker whose writings include books on morals and public administration. But a 1982 Atlantic Monthly piece on policing he co-wrote may be the work for which he's most remembered. It was titled Broken Windows and contains this now famous phrase. One unrepaired broken window is a signal that no one cares, and so breaking more windows costs nothing. The article caught the attention of police chiefs and politicians, and the drive took off to put police on foot patrol rather than in cars, getting to know people, enforcing small rules to maintain public order. James Q. Wilson was 80 years old and had been under treatment for leukemia. Paul Brown, NPR News.
I'm Lakshmi Singh, NPR News in Washington.